Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Today's message, as I stated earlier, has to do with physical healing. And my hope is that if you haven't been moving in that area of praying for each other, praying for people, that this would encourage you to do so. That if you're not praying for yourself, you're missing a great opportunity. And, you know, God gave us all we ever needed to be able to make it on in this world. We were never intended to be sick. Amen. That was not God's intention. And when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, he once again made that possible for us. Is that if we would just take what he gave us at that time and say, no, disease is not for any of God's children. Jesus took those upon himself. And so I want to start off with Matthew 4, and I'm going to read verse 18 through 22. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, Jesus began his ministry by choosing specific people that would one day continue the work that he was about ready to begin. And the thing was that Jesus wasn't just choosing these men. These men were choosing Jesus also. And so, as you know, sometimes you get the impression that he was just walking around and said, I'll take him and him. And he just started picking out people. But the word says that some of these men that joined Jesus had been followers of John the Baptist. And so they already had heard of the Messiah. And so whenever John the Baptist acknowledged Jesus as that Messiah, these disciples were prepared. This is what they've been looking for. So some of them had already spoken with Jesus. So it wasn't like just a random pick. These were people that not only the Father had instructed Jesus to do, but also the hearts of these men were being stirred through John the Baptist and, of course, through Father God. And so as we look at this, you know, I would imagine that a lot of these they were young men, you know, probably in late teens or whatever. You know, I don't think they were, you know, old guys like me, but they were young men, and they just, you know, full of energy and vibrance. I'm sure they were just waiting for the Messiah to finally come on earth, and they were there for such a time as that, a perfect time. And so, since they were prepared when that time came and Jesus called out to them, I believe they were just like, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. I'm ready. And because it says that they just kind of left their boats and left their dads. And I mean, there was no questions asked. I wonder how many of us would do that. I wonder how many of us would just leave whatever it is when we're called to a mission such as some of our people here do, you know. Yeah, sometimes it's not easy to go there. And yet, if you've been prepared, you're going to do just that. And so, thank you for those that listen to God's voice and are ready when he says, follow me. So I hope that when, if that time ever comes for any of you here today, that you would be willing to say, I'm ready. And so I want to go on now. It says, verse 23 and 24 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. So Jesus' heart was to tell everyone about the kingdom of God, and he wanted to bring wholeness to all those who needed healing. And I hope that that is the heart of this church. I hope that that is our heart today, of today's church, that we want to bring that healing to people, that we want to tell them about the kingdom of God. I hope that's what stirs us today, that we're not just sitting in our pews today and just wondering what someone else is going to bring to us, that we have something to give to those around us. And so the scripture says that he healed them, and it says that he healed them all of them. And when you hear something like that, it sounds pretty impossible, you know, but not for Jesus. And I would imagine, maybe, that there was some that were in the area and didn't get healed, but it wasn't because Jesus didn't pray for them. It's probably because they didn't reach out to him. It's probably because they didn't make their way through the crowd and say, here I am, touch me. So sometimes we have our ailments because we're just not reaching out. But he's ready to heal all of us, every one of us. So now let's fast forward to Acts 5:12. Says the apostles perform. This is, of course, it takes place right after Pentecost and right after the Holy Spirit had come. I mean, this was a wonderful time here. It says the apostles perform many miracles, signs, and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Here we go again. All of them. So here is a beautiful picture of the first Christian church. Those men that Jesus had chosen were there for this perfect time. They had walked with Jesus and were witness to all the great works that he had done. But as we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that, you know, these guys were not exactly great men of God when they were with Jesus. You have one that betrayed him. You have one that denied him. You had one that doubted. And you had all of them that just deserted him. Doesn't say much for the guys that he chose, but guess what? You know, God works with those of us that are really unworthy to be called part of his kingdom. And yet, here they are. Here they are, except for Judas. Here they were, filled with the Holy Spirit and experiencing a new faith and confidence in Jesus. There was just nothing that was going to stop this new group of people. And it says, God's power was so great in them that even Peter's shadow brought healing. And people were coming to them, and they were all healed. All of them healed. Just like Jesus' ministry. Apparently, they learned. Apparently, they took Jesus' demonstration and say, this is what he did. And they because of the Holy Spirit within him, they were able to place themselves in a place that they could do the same things. And just like the early church, I want to see that today in Sarita House of Worship. I want to see that. I want to be one of the all healed. I want each one of you in this congregation to be one of the all healed. You know, one sick person in this church is too many. And we have all these wonderful touches of Jesus that we don't have to sit back and just accept where we are today. If Jesus did it and the new Christian church did it, why can't Sarita House of Worship do it? There's no reason for that. I want all of you to be one of the all got healed. And I hope that as today progresses, I hope you are. We sang a little bit ago about the last song we did was "The Atmosphere is Changing." You know, when God is in the house, that atmosphere of healing is here. And all you have to do is just receive it. His presence here. You know that you don't have to have anybody lay a hand on you. You don't have to have anybody specifically go get on your face and pray for you. It's here. And then the word says that the Lord added to their numbers. You know, if we just did what Jesus did, you want to watch these numbers grow? Just do what Jesus did. You know, people are attracted by expressions of God's power. If healings were going on, if testimonies of the things that God is doing were happening in this church, we would probably want to shut our doors because there's too full in here. Our capacities would be overwhelmed. Because that's what people want to see. You know, people are looking for God. They're not looking for any kind of programs. They're not looking for how wonderful things are in a church. They want healing. They want the presence of God. They want to see God. They want to feel God. They want to know God. And if this church or other churches were to just do what Jesus did, or just have that same attitude and confidence that the early church had, I would imagine what this church building or other churches would be like. And do you know that as compared to the early church, today we are better equipped to do the works of Jesus. Better equipped than the early church ever was. Because not only do we have a how-to book, we also have his word that he will. It says in here, he will. And I don't think there's anybody sitting in this church that'll say, well, maybe not. Because if he said it, it's true. There is nothing but truth in this book. So he tells us how to do it, and he says, I will do it. In my name, ask and I will. That's all I need. Most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. And sometimes, I believe we don't see the fullness of that. We don't see the fullness of what is inside each one of us. It's kind of like, I'm Holy Spirit filled. Have a nice day. It's much more than that. Need to realize Jesus is here inside of me, inside of you. And if he's there, what can come against us, right? Nothing. If I would have been one of the believers when Jesus walked on this earth, and he would have said to me, now this is a scenario, I'm not that old. And he would have said to me, come with me. We're going to restore that blind man's sight. I think, or at least I hope I would have said, yeah, I've seen you do it. I know you can. I want to be a part of this. Pretty confident when he's physically walking next to me, right? Because I say, yeah, man, that's Jesus. He can do this stuff. So I'm very willing to go. But again, it's no different today. He is in spirit walking next to us, walking before us. And it's he through us that's going to do whatever the Holy Spirit is directing us to do. And so why should we not have that confidence that we would have had he physically been like he was with his disciples? We have the same thing and even better. They had him next to them. We have it inside of us. Amen. Isn't that much better? I'll take it. So, I want us to repeat something. And that is, Jesus is always with me. Can you say that?
Jesus is always with me.
Good. His Holy Spirit is within me. Thank you, Lord. And if we could just grasp on to those two things, there's nothing that can stop this church from doing those things that we just read about. Let's write our own book. Let's Sarita House of Worship have our own book and have all these testimonies that say, wow, that was in 2017 or 18, whenever it is. Look what that church did. There are churches all around us waiting and just wondering what God's going to do. Let's don't wait and wonder no more. Step out. Have the confidence because he is within you. He is with you. It's not just in word. This is reality. Let's go to John 14. Starting with verse 12. And I'm going to read 12 through 14. And it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, what I want to point out in this is that it says, anyone who has faith in me. It doesn't say anyone who has been trained, or it doesn't say anyone who is a pastor. It doesn't say anyone who is an elder. Now, there are other parts in the Bible that it says, bring your sick to the elders. I understand that. But it's saying here that all we have to do is believe in him. Amen. I hope that every one of you sitting here believes in him. You know, sometimes we get this, I don't know what to call it, but that if your pastor doesn't pray for you, then it doesn't count. No. That guy sitting next to you can pray for you, and it's going to be as effective because that man or woman has Jesus, Holy Spirit within him. And it says, just believe in that. Believe in Jesus. Don't believe in your pastor. Don't believe in your elders. And don't believe, you know, they're beautiful people, but they're not the ones that are going to heal you. It's Jesus that's going to heal you. Believe in his ability. And all of those of you that have never had the experience of praying for people, just remember, he's not looking for abilities. He's looking for availability. Amen. He just wants your hands. He just wants your feet. And he just wants your mouth to just speak out all his wonderful promises here. Every person here today has been commissioned to do as Jesus did. It's all about him if we just believe it. So again, my hope is that through today's message, you be encouraged. In him, we can do all things. And we need not accept sickness and disease. We have been given, every one of us here has been given authority to come against the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I prayed earlier. It's so beautiful to say that. So beautiful to say that name. It just, I say, it feels like honey to my lips. But there's much more than just that. There is such power in that name. And sometimes I think we forget the true value of that beautiful name. Sometimes I think it's used like to end a prayer. Not a bad thing, but it's too casual, you know. Thank you, Lord, for my food. Bless it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. That's not a bad prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. That food, whatever stuff was in it, just became perfected, pure, good food. You just blessed it. That's a good thing. But then we say, in Jesus' name, good prayer. And so sometimes we end our prayers just because that's part of the formality of prayer. But that name is much more than that. Much more than that. And sometime I hope that you get in that if you're not there already and just savor that. Savor that name. Savor what it does. You know, sometimes that can be all the prayer you need. And I'm going to share a story. And it has to do with two of my daughters. And they were in their late teens. And they were coming back from the White Mountains, coming to Tucson. And somewhere around Winkleman, Dudleyville, wherever those areas are there, some car just kind of made the wrong turn. And they try to avoid the car. And, you know, there's a lot of cliffs and so forth for those of you that have been there. And as they went off to the side, there was two of my daughters, like I said. And, you know, those of you that have had accidents, there's not much time to get on your knees and pray, is there? It just happens. And one of my daughters did She just said, Jesus. She called out to Jesus. That's all the prayer she needed. And as it turned out, I mean, I went back later on and saw the area that they landed at. But there's rocks, there's big mesquite trees, and you name it. That car, there was a little spot of sand in a certain area. That's where that car landed. You know, it was like somebody went, there you go. My daughters are alive today. One of them was air-vac'd at that time because she got hurt a little bit. But, you know, they're with me. I could have lost one or two of them that day. But they said, Jesus. So if you don't know any prayers, stick with that one. It works. It works. I'll testify to that. Now I want to share just a couple of scriptures in Jesus' healing ministry. And these scriptures have kind of encouraged me in areas that I kind of wondered about. So the first one I want to look at is Mark 8:22. It says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. And then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, don't go into the village. Now, I wanted to share this one because it shows Jesus praying twice. And it's hard to imagine Jesus twice. I mean, he raised the dead, you know, and he could just as easily have said, blind man, see. But I think a lot of these different areas that we look at Jesus doing some of his healing and his ministry, a lot of it is not only to teach his disciples, but to also encourage us. You know, if it took Jesus twice, it might take us twice or more than at least more than once, and that's okay. You know, and I think that's what this is about. He could have very easily have healed them right away. But instead he shows this healing that came in progression. And it still happened. You know, it still happened, but it took two prayers for him to do. Now, I think what it also says is, and we've heard this term before, is that you can never put Jesus in a box. He's never going to do the same thing the same way over and over and over. That would be like us having a 10-step program that says, okay, if I do 10 steps, that person's going to get healed. And you think about it, if that were true, why would we need Jesus anymore? I got the 10 steps here. I'll just go with that. And so it's a dependency on him. And that no matter if you've done this thing and it's worked for you five times and you've done the same thing, don't just think that the sixth time you're going to go out there and it's going to work the same. You wait on the leading of the Holy Spirit. This may be a different situation. So never start depending on your own efforts. You always depend on where he is leading you. He's given us the tools, but he's also given us his Spirit, and we got to listen to that. Or else we're going to fall flat on our face. So it's encouraging to see that. And even at the other thing is the perseverance. Sometimes we pray for someone and, you know, I think, man, I've prayed more than once. And Jesus just saying, hang in there. You know, it's going to happen. I told you it would. So the next one I want to go to is Mark 9:14. Okay, and it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams in the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And then it says, "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Now, as verse 19 says, unbelieving generation, unbelief is healing's greatest enemy. And Jesus shows his frustration, not only for the family of the boy, but even for his disciples. Now, they'd done this before. There's other parts of the scriptures that said that the disciples had cast out demons, and they had healed others. So if they'd done that before, why not this time? And the same thing as I said a little bit earlier, every time is different. And maybe these disciples were starting to trust in themselves. Maybe they were tired, not had their whole thoughts into what they were doing. Who knows? But it just didn't happen. And so constantly, as Pastor says, independently dependent on God. Every one of us has got to not look at yourself, look at him. And if you don't, then he can't do anything. You tie his hands. And now the other place I want to look at, it says on verse 20, it says, the spirit saw Jesus and it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. The spirit recognized Jesus. He knew who this man that was just walking up was. That is how it should be with each one of us here. The enemy should be afraid of you, not you afraid of the enemy. The enemy should, when they seize, there comes brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, that enemy should just get to a point that it shrivels up. Because guess what? Just like when Jesus walked in there, remember what I said earlier? In here, he's right next to you, for you, behind you, you name it, he's there. And so when the spirits see Jesus, they have got to submit. And then verse 23, I haven't read that, so it says, verse 22 says, it has often, this is the Father speaking of the man, it says, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then it says, if you can, Jesus says, and there's a question mark. Then it says, everything is possible for him who believes. I can imagine Jesus saying, you're asking me if I can? You know, there just is no doubt. And yet these people are still not believing what Jesus can do. And so I really like that. It's kind of like for us, Jesus, I know I've been suffering through this for all this time. If you can, if you would heal me. He's telling you the same thing. If I can? No, let's don't go there. Let's don't go there. Because you still got the big if. And there is no if in Jesus' vocabulary when it comes to healing. Verse 24, it says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Now, the spirit of unbelief is broken. Jesus can work. We've got to get past that. Now we go to Hebrews 11:1. One that you're very familiar with. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is reaching and taking. It's there. Jesus has already done it. We just need to believe and receive. So the only block that exists, it's right here. Right between those two ears is the only block that would ever exist to keep us from getting to that place that he wants us to be. And we need to take Jesus at his word. He said, it is finished. And his word says that by his stripes we have been healed. Not you will be, not at some point. He says you have been. 2,000 years ago on that cross, he healed you. And you say, okay, it's not easy to receive this scripture when your body's in pain or you're battling a disease that doesn't seem to improve. It's not easy to just say, okay, I've been healed. You know, if your body hurts, guess what? It hurts. And yet, his word tells you that you've already been healed. So I believe that today is a day to stop telling God about your problem and start telling your problem about God. Start telling your problem about God. Mustard seed faith moves mountains. Each time we pray, it should be with expectation of a positive outcome at that moment. And however, if we've been consistently praying for someone or yourself, believing and pushing for that person with no visible, or for yourself with no visible improvement. Now thoughts may come through your mind as you're praying. Maybe it will happen this time. Probably not. I'll just expect it in the future. God is telling me, John Valero, okay, that, you know, I am not to have a plan B. Amen. That's right. That's one of the things that he's spoken to me, is that you think after all these years, you know, I've been praying for people for quite a while, and, you know, sometimes these thoughts do come through my mind, and they seem to make sense. Maybe this is the progressive one. You know, maybe it's going to take a little more. But God's telling me every time I pray, I want to see it now. No plan B. And if it happens that it doesn't happen, next time, plan B. The other thing that he's been talking to me about is that when I pray, to visualize my prayer. If someone is sick, see them healthy. As you pray, see them. If someone is going through a depression, see them happy. See them flourishing. As God did when he created the world. Now we can see this, but he had it in, he had a plan. He knew exactly what he wanted. But until he spoke that plan, it didn't exist. So it's our place to see what we don't see and speak it so that it creates. Create health. Create that person to be joyful. Create that person that is sitting in a wheelchair. See that person rising and walking. Visualize it. Speak it. No plan Bs. I want to look at Proverbs 13:12. And it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. We must pray with belief that even though the last 20 times didn't work, this time the 21st will. And God will supply the hope we need to persevere, if that's what we need. And we can do nothing more than what Jesus has already done. The only way that it won't happen is if I stop knocking on Jesus' door. Now, we all want to see a miracle. I would love to not have progressive prayers. I would love to be able to just go up to somebody and say, blind eyes see and deaf ears hear. I want to see that. I hope you do too. We all want miracles, but we also need those times that we're praying and we're praying, and sometimes our hearts just kind of want to give up. We've been walking through this for such a long time that we go, you know, I accept it. I guess that's the way it's going to be. And maybe you go to a conference and that's the conference that's going to bring me that healing. Whatever it is, you know, the hopes are there, but you kind of accept where you are. And I'm just here to tell you that you don't need to accept where you are. Expect that miracle. Expect that whatever it is, even if it takes a second time or whatever, but expect that time that person is praying. Now, my message is focused on being equipped to do the work of Jesus. But above all, we need to have his heart of grace, mercy, compassion, and love for those we pray for. Without that, then we're just putting on a good show. Got to love those that you want. You want to see them free. You want to see them healthy. You want to see people whole. And so we have to have a heart that says exactly that. I've got two more Proverbs to share. One is Proverbs 4:20. And it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. And then before I say anything, I want to go to Proverbs 17:22. And that one says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And sometimes life gets us down. We forget that there is joy in the Lord. There are promises in this wonderful book to lift you. So don't allow your symptoms to drown out His promises. Speak His word of life to yourself. And speak us words of life to those that you love. Declare His blessings upon yourself, upon those that you love, and just tell them about His love. Tell them how much Jesus loves them, and He doesn't want to leave you where you are today. Sickness is not a part of Sarita House of Worship. And one last thing, that I think I just need to share, is that even though He's given us all these wonderful scriptures and tools and different things to get us through this journey that we're on today, I do want to say one thing, is that He also gave us a brain. And He gave us, I hope, somewhere in here, some common sense. And there are things that we do to our bodies willingly that bring upon ourselves sickness and disease. And whether it's just because you're having fun doing it or whatever that case may be, those are things that you have. He gave us free will, right? He let us make choices. There are things that we allow ourselves to fall into, and sometimes that small little thing that didn't mean something at one point all of a sudden becomes a big monster that you now cannot get rid of. So take your common sense that you were blessed with and apply that as part of your healing. There are things you can do to take care of yourself so that God can take care of you also. Father God, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that just meets us where we are, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that today is the day that You are going to bring freedom to those, Lord, that have been afflicted by sickness and disease, that You will bring wholeness, Lord, to every person, Lord, that is reaching out to You today, Lord. And just as Peter's shadow, Lord, touched them, I pray that as that person next to them or that prayer team person is walking around, Lord, that even just Your presence within him is touching those that have a sickness, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that even though this sickness has been on a person or persons for just kind of established itself as a home, in that beautiful name of Jesus, I break the power that You have over this person. And in the name of Jesus, I say you must be gone. You have no right over any child of God, and we command you to be gone. Let go. We speak to hurting joints. I speak restoration to the joints of people's arms and knees. I speak the name of Jesus to those areas. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Spirit of diabetes, you have no power over any of these children, your children. And even as the word said earlier that hearts dry up, I speak life to hearts. I speak life to hearts. His life. His life. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I ask that your joy would just overwhelm every person here today. I bless you all. Receive his healing. Most of all, receive his love. He just wants to love you. Just wants to love you. Be blessed, and may you have a good left what's left of the weekend.